Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're good to go. Wow. Sorry for the delay in this.
No problem.
Figuring this phone delay out. This is Keith Bearden, Texas Tech University, Vice President of Phi Beta Mu International. And we have on the line with us today Dr. John Locke, who is the Director of Bands at University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And we're excited to interview him today as one of our outstanding bandmasters of Phi Beta Mu International. Dr. Locke, it's a pleasure to visit with you, and just let's get started by asking you how you got started in band years ago.
Well, Keith, very nice to talk to you as well. I grew up in a household with one older brother in a town that had a very fine high school band and a very fine music store. I grew up in the small town of South Charleston, West Virginia. Not exactly a mecca for bands and music, but I had the good fortune of being in a town that had the very best high school band in that state, especially in the realm of concert band. We marched a little bit, but it was a very fine concert band. And my brother, who was 6 years ahead of me in school, had played the trombone and had been in the all-county band, and he was, in fact, in the very first ever West Virginia All-State Band in 1962. And so I watched him and bided my time, and I think in third grade we had an old beaten-up euphonium, a baritone horn in our house, and I started playing it for fun. And when I got to fourth grade, which was the year that students were beginning in my town, my dad took me to the music store, Gorby's Music Store, a very fine music store that's still in existence in South Charleston, and bought me a brand new American Standard trombone, and I began playing that. I had the good fortune of, at my little elementary school, there were four of us that started in fourth grade that started band instruction, but the gentleman from my high school, whose name was Mr. Raspalair, who's actually a Northwestern graduate, but a native from West Virginia, came to my elementary school to start four of us, two trumpets and two trombones. So I had superb instruction. He's a wonderful, wonderful musician and teacher, and I studied private trombone with him from an early age, and had the good fortune to play in his high school band for my 3 years, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. It was a three-year high school, and then he retired. So I had the best of all possible worlds. I had a brother who sort of paved the way as a band student, and then went on himself to major in music. So, you know, I was reading his books when I was in seventh grade. I was reading his conducting textbooks, and I could just sort of see my pathway from a very, very early age. In fact, about halfway through the fourth grade, playing my trombone at my elementary school, it just hit me like a ton of bricks that, and I've always told people that I didn't pick music, that music picked me. And it just tapped me on the shoulder when I was in fourth grade and said, you really love doing this, and this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You're going to do music, and that's just kind of the way it worked out.
It's so true, and that's the common thread among all these interviews. Someone was the catalyst, whether it be a sibling or your mm-hmm. first director that encouraged you, and you had that innate ability anyway, and underlying love of music, and it worked out. So you went from there to college, to major in music. Where did you go?
Yes, I grew up there in South Charleston High School in West Virginia, and the only school of any size and substance in the state of West Virginia that I thought my mother would be able to afford. My father passed away when I was in 10th grade, and about my best option was to go to an in-state state university, and I went to West Virginia University in Morgantown. Auditioned there. The trombone professor came to my high school to recruit me. He brought the trombone ensemble because I was at the top of the section in the all-state band, and had made it known I was going into music.
That's a great way to recruit.
That is a great way to recruit, indeed. And I took my reel-to-reel tape recorder and made a tape recording of the West Virginia Trombone Ensemble. The fellow's name was Richard Powell. Wonderful man, great teacher and mentor to me. And so I went to WVU as a freshman music major. And to my very good fortune, they were in transition. They had an interim band director that year. And for the beginning of my sophomore year, they hired a wonderful teacher and conductor and mentor who meant the absolute world to me, beyond my high school band director, who also meant the world to me. They hired a fellow named Don Wilcox. Well, Don Wilcox was at WVU for about 30 years or so as director of bands. And I was there the day he arrived, and I had him for my sophomore, junior, and senior year, and then I stayed and was his graduate assistant for my master's degree. And then I was in the right place at the right time, and they hired me on the faculty at WVU to be his first ever faculty assistant band director.
Fantastic.
It was only a one-year job because they really needed to combine that with the game plan was that it would be assistant band director / saxophone professor. Well, I was a trombonist, so but I got it as the funding came along in the summer, so I had it for a year. So here I was at the ripe old age of 22 with a master's degree, and I had a one-year assistant professor appointment at a big university. And so really by accident, not by design, but by accident, I'm both glad to say and sorry to say that I bypassed public school teaching. I never had a high school band or a middle school band. My first year of teaching was in a university for a one-year job, and I went from there to Southeast Missouri State out in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, where at age 23, even though I had no clue what I was doing, I was a director of bands at a college.
Amazing. And it's interesting that you mentioned Don Wilcox. I just interviewed him this morning. And he was talking about he had worked with H. Robert Reynolds, who was another one of our outstanding bandmasters.
Yes.
It's the thread runs true through many, many mm-hmm. lives, doesn't it? It's incredible.
It surely does. I owe Don just the world. When I was a sophomore, a junior, and a senior, probably even to this day, I always wanted to be just like Don Wilcox.
Wonderful.
He just represented the best of everything in our profession. And he taught me so much and gave me many opportunities to make my own mistakes and have a chance to conduct and do some arranging and try and do things and work with the marching band there back in those days. And so, he just absolutely, totally meant the world to me. So I taught in Southeast Missouri for 4 years, and then that was a school that I went there in 1976, and in those days, the school said, you have 5 years from the date we hire you to complete a doctorate. And so I taught for four, and then I got a leave and went to the University of Illinois to pursue a doctorate in music education, where I had my third great mentor, Dr. Harry Beejan,
mm-hmm.
who was a wonderful person to work with and was like a second father to me. And we became very, very close friends. And I've always said Don Wilcox taught me everything I know about being a university band director. And that Harry Beejan, when I got to Illinois, after having been a college teacher for 5 years, that Harry Beejan taught me everything I didn't know about being a college band director.
That's true. Well, since you were on the fast track and skipped the public school,
I did.
You might share, because our audience will be all directors of all ages, but mm-hmm. primarily we're hoping the younger ones tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say someone's following your track. What would you suggest? Things that they look out for, that they do, that you wish you had done in your early college teaching years?
You know, I'm not very sure that my track, I don't think my track's possible now. There are so many graduate programs and doctoral programs, and so many very qualified people that to get any kind of college job now, I mean, it's sort of the catch 22 to become a college or university band director. One almost needs college experience, and how do you get that other than perhaps through a graduate assistantship or something? But it's very, very hard to bypass public school teaching. It's about impossible now, I think. But I think really what I try to tell my own students is to always put yourself in a position to volunteer for everything that comes along. And even if no one stands up and says, do I have any volunteers to do this or that or the other? And I tell my students, here it is Christmas break, and you'll have a few days maybe before the public schools are out. And when you go back home, you should go back to your school, knock on the door of the band director or choir or orchestra director and say, I'd like to observe for a day, and maybe if you'd let me, tomorrow I could conduct a warm-up, or maybe I could conduct a chorale. I think in my life, I always volunteered for everything, even things that, you know, I remember telling Don Wilcox, I'd like to conduct the pep band if you need some help with it. And it was like, yes, absolutely, here it is. And so then after that, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. Could I write an arrangement for the marching band? Could I write a drill for the band? So I always tried to fill up my time with things I thought that would stretch me and give me a chance to do something, to challenge myself. And I guess I had enough confidence that I could pull it off, and most of the time I could. But I tell people to, if you're going to be a band conductor, then go find a band to conduct, even if it's between semesters or in the summer or at spring break. Just look for ways to get involved and get some experience and try to do things.
And as many performing opportunities as you can find, orchestra, band, jazz band.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I know when I was in about junior high school, I thought my career path would be that I'd keep playing the trombone and I'd audition and play in a military band. I thought the height of my experience could be if I could become a member of the Marine Band and maybe someday be the trombone soloist with the Marine Band. I thought that would be just the best thing ever. And then in my undergraduate days, when I got to a conducting class with Don Wilcox, it was just like a revelation that wow, conducting is even more fun than playing my trombone. I didn't know anything was any more fun than playing trombone in a good ensemble, in a good band or orchestra or quintet or whatever. But then I realized, wow, you're a conductor. You literally just get to be in charge of everything, every sound, every note, every length, every attack, every release. You know, where to swell, where to make a diminuendo. I just thought, this is the greatest thing that there ever was.
You found it.
So,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get to observe certainly a lot of high school bands as a university director. You get
yes.
to see what's going on. What are your thoughts about the trends of the current concert bands? And you can throw in marching band, too, if you'd like.
Yeah. Well,
will they be positive or negative?
I don't know that they're necessarily positive or negative. I think that a lot of things have to come together for our schools to be able to have good bands, choirs, and orchestras. And I'll stick to bands since that's what you and I are about and your organization and my organizations are about. But it's not enough just to have a music degree and want to work hard. There's got to be some support. There's got to be the conditions must be in place for a band program to exist and then to thrive and to do well. The schedule has to be right. The access to the students in whatever grade they're going to begin, whether that's in fourth grade like it was for me, which is pretty much gone by the boards, or sixth grade like it is here in Greensboro, North Carolina. But the principal, the school board, the superintendent, the whole situation has to work favorably for a band to be able to happen and to thrive. And so many places, I think, we graduate maybe some people who are pretty good and interested in doing the right job, and the situation they find themselves in seems to be so very challenging that you wonder how a band program can materialize and reach its potential. It's a very tough job when you're swimming upstream as a teacher against the principal or the county system or the city system or whatever it is, and the schedule, and you can't get the students, you can't get the right students at the right time. You have to start your beginners and you see them once a week, which is a formula for disaster.
Absolutely.
And we compete with this. There are so many things to compete with in schools that it's just a very big challenge. And I think it overwhelms some of our newest and even some of our best young teachers.
So a word of encouragement to our young teachers is just to persist and look for the right situation, really.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that there are still plenty of very fine bands around, but I don't know that that's necessarily on the increase. I think that schools have changed a bit. I think that the support from the parents has changed, probably not for the better. I know the teachers in my state often tell me that, you know, we'll have a concert and they tell me that they literally can't get even half the parents to show up for a concert, which just seems crazy to me. It is a very difficult challenge. Yet there still are some wonderful programs right here in North Carolina, and there are some that struggle mightily.
There are just so many options for people these days. It's unfortunate that they don't support like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a personal highlight in your career? Can you now? I know there are many, but could you narrow it down to your most important one?
I've got two things, maybe. When I got to Southeast Missouri State, I inherited from the former director of bands, who was also the chair of that department, I inherited a very, very large summer music camp. And I had the opportunity to take it over. I think it was in its 18th or 19th year. And it was, you know, it had 2,000 students each summer. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but running it for 3 or 4 years, I got the hang of it. And when I came here to the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, I started a music camp to reach out to the public schools and to help us recruit students to become music majors. And it has grown by leaps and bounds, and it's a great source of pride for me. It's not a single moment in time, but it was a great source of pride for me that we had that camp, and it's now the biggest on a university campus anywhere. We have 1,850 students and 160 employees. Wow. And in 2 1-week camps, we see 15 bands, 4 orchestras, 4 choirs, and 160 piano players. And
my
so
goodness.
it's a huge deal for us. But the biggest thing here band-wise occurred just a couple of years ago in March of 2013. We had the opportunity to host the national CBDNA, College Band Directors National Association, convention here. And We commissioned a great deal of music for that, commissioned a John Mackey piece. It was in memory of my son, and had a new Stephen Bryant piece. And we had four commissions altogether, and we performed the Stravinsky Symphony of Psalms with our choir. And we hosted, probably eight of the very best bands in America, Cincinnati Conservatory, Baylor University. And it was just a wonderful experience for us, University of Kentucky, LSU, University of South Carolina. It was just a wonderful experience, and we had literally the whole college band world here on our campus for about 4 days. And it was just one of the greatest things I've ever done. I'll remember it fondly for a long time.
You know, that's pretty special. And you mentioned your son. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. My wife and I have two sons, and we lost our older son, JP, which stands for John Philip Locke. And we lost him not long after he graduated from college. It was in 2002. And so it took a great deal of time for me I thought for almost a decade that at some point I'd like to have a piece written that would be in his memory. And I kept thinking, you know, if I ever do this, I don't know that I'm actually going to be able to stand in front of a group and teach it to them and conduct them without sort of breaking apart every time I think about it. So it took a decade for me to sort of come to grips with it and decide I really do have to do this. And then we'd had John Mackey on our campus several times for some other pieces we were playing of his and a piece we recorded. And I talked to him about it at length and I got him on board, and we had a commission consortium with about 12 schools around the country, 12 very well-known band programs that tipped in the money for the commission, and he wrote a piece called The Frozen Cathedral. My son had been to Alaska one summer, and I spent the whole summer up there working in the fishing industry and hiking and enjoying life in Alaska. And the piece is about Alaska and about my son. So it was very, very special.
That's really wonderful. And, you know, people see band directors and their success, and they sometimes overlook we have pain in our lives and we have regular everyday living to do.
We sure do.
Well, that's a wonderful way to memorialize your son. And I know that that piece gets a lot of play.
Yes, it does. It sure does.
We'll just push it here on this site.
Okay.
So do you have a favorite composition? I know that has to be your favorite. Second chair to that?
Well, wow. I almost think second chair to that for me would be Music for Prague, 1968 by Karel Husa. We played it a few times. We've had, back when he was young enough to do such things, we've had Husa on our campus twice. And he lives not far from here now. In retirement, he's 91 or 92, and he's living over in a suburb of Raleigh, North Carolina, in Cary, North Carolina, next to his daughter, who helps take care of him and his wife. And so that piece has always been very special to me. And we're going to perform it. We've never really gone overseas with our wind ensemble, but we're going to Europe in this coming May. And we're going to go to Prague, and we're going to play in Dvorak Hall in Prague, and we're going to play Music for Prague over there.
Fantastic.
So that's
fantastic.
Going to be even a little more special for us, I think. It's going to be a big moment, I hope.
I played that with a band, and I sent him back in the days of cassette recordings, and he sent me a cassette tape telling about the piece, and I played it for our students, and that's the main piece they remember in their entire career, because he explained it to them what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous. That is really special that you're doing that. So you had how many years have you taught, Dr. Locke?
Well, if you count years of being a graduate teaching assistant, that would be one as a master's teaching assistant and two at Illinois as a doctoral teaching assistant. That totals 40. This will, when I finish this year, that'll be 41 years.
Stunning.
And this is my 34th year here at UNCG. I tell people I'm a fixture. I like.
And along the way, you had wonderful mentors, and you had great experiences with students and in different universities and different settings. Mm-hmm. And so the old guys listening to this, like myself, will be really intrigued to listen to your experience. And what would you want to tell new directors just entering our profession? What advice might you give them other than playing everything you can and volunteer? What other tidbits for a new director?
Well, you know, just on the inspirational part, for me, I've always thought that if you choose the right career path, you literally never work a day in your life. And while I've certainly worked and sweated, I don't think it's really been work or drudgery to me. I said music picked me. I really think it did. It's almost like a religious calling. It's almost like being called to the ministry for some. I think it's close to that for me. And so music chose me, and I never really looked back, and I just thought this is just a wonderful privilege to get to teach music and make music and be involved in shaping people's lives through music. It's just the greatest profession of all for me.
It's the journey.
It is.
It is. Well, I really appreciate it, and we can wrap it up on that. I think that's a really positive note and some great advice. I want to thank you so much for doing the interview, and hope to see you at Midwest.
Thanks very much, Keith. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.